Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
One of the things I really love about hosting Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is the feedback I get from the listeners, especially and frequently via email. And I'll share a couple of those on this episode, including our lead story today, which comes from Chris. I never really like to blast out last names and give complete details because I just don't know. But Chris sent this in to me, and it's an absolute classic. And I knew the second I got it, and I emailed him back. I said, listen, that's great podcast material. You know, thank you so much, and I really appreciate it, and I'm going to use that somewhere. And then I started really thinking about it, and I thought, no, this is lead podcast material. That's exactly what this is. This is exactly what we want to do with KKHI. So Chris sends me this article, and I've tweeted it out. It was just the second I reference an article, I get a gazillion emails from all of you that you want to see it. Can I email you the link? Whatever. It's on my Twitter timeline. So go to @KKHasIssues on Twitter, and you can click the link right there. It's right there on the timeline, and I've already put it there before even starting the podcast. It's from some sort of publication called Airport World, which I didn't even know existed. And it's a really long and detailed story by the company, I think the Canadian company, that Kansas City has hired to design and build its brand new airport terminal. And the entire piece is about how this will be the most inclusive airport on the planet. Kansas City is setting the trend worldwide for the single most inclusive airport. It's things like a little bit of a, I guess, a sky bridge from one terminal to the next building. So if you are in a wheelchair or you don't walk well or whatever, you don't have to go down a ramp or an escalator or anything like that. Like, everything will be on one level. It's going to be very accessible, very easy. All of these things sound terrific to me. If they put that much thought into it, I'm on board. We've been trying to figure out why the local company didn't get the bid, why there's not enough of a local flair. How is it possible? I think this Canadian group is involved in this. Well, now we're learning. They're better at inclusivity than some American company or some Kansas City company. We know that some international company, or at least the Canadians, would be more inclusive and build a more inclusive airport than what we would build on our own, because we're a bunch of hayseeds. We're a bunch of backwards conservative hacks stuck in flyover country that don't know that it's 2021. So the airport's coming along, and they go through all these different things. They're going to have, they'll be the first airport in the world with wireless vehicle charging systems, whatever that is. Whatever. You've got the money, you're spending it. I'll say this before I tell you where this is going. I'll say this. Within a year of the new airport opening, there will be massive changes to this airport. There will be things that do not work, that they go, oh, well, that's not very practical. Or we'll have complaints of lines and problems and traffic and congestion. You've already heard Kevin Harlan on this podcast complaining about the ridiculous-looking parking garage that they built. When you drive up, all you see is this parking structure you don't really see. You know, in most cities that he travels to, the airport is a work of art or a thing of beauty. And in Kansas City, all you're going to see is the parking garage until you're on the other side of the parking structure, which is ugly and silly and whatever. So look, this isn't going to be great. This is going to be nice. It's going to be a tremendous improvement, but there's going to be things I can already tell, because of what is important to them in the design of this airport, that the execution of a functioning airport will not be delivered in the way that we all hope. They're going to sacrifice it for things like inclusivity. So inclusivity means, and this is unbelievable, and thank you, Chris, for sending this in. They're building two giant all-gender bathrooms. And part of the reason is, as we know, in crowded areas, whether it be a sporting event, a concert, a theater, an airport, women's restroom lines are longer than men's. It takes them longer, whatever. It's not as practical to go, right? So we see that happen almost everywhere. My answer has always been, we'll have more women's bathrooms. That seems easy. Or make them bigger than the men's room. This isn't hard. It's not complicated. Oh, but not in Kansas City. We're going to have two giant all-gender bathrooms, and they believe that will not only be inclusive for the LGBTQ+ rainbow community, the alphabet folks, that would, they're going to really like their all-gender bathrooms. And what it says about our city, by the way, that we're very progressive. These all-gender giant bathrooms, I think they said one of them is going to have 40-some stalls and the other one 28 stalls. They're going to have almost, not quite, almost floor-to-ceiling doors and partitions. They'll be large so you can take your suitcase in there with you when you go in and you sit down. I run this by my wife upon hearing about this, and Chris was very astute when he said, they've just created more restrooms for men is what they've done. Because what woman wants to go in there and sit next to Uncle Frank, busting out a rusty after having a couple of burritos and, you know, four beers on his layover, and there he is doing his thing, and you're telling me the ladies want to go in there and sit next to that? No, they don't. So, if, and it's an if on any given day, a transgender actually uses the bathroom at the new KCI, because there will be plenty of days that no transgender uses the bathrooms at KCI. There will be plenty of those days. If it is a day where a transgender uses the bathroom, I guess what we're celebrating is their ability to go into this giant room with a whole bunch of men in there doing whatever it is that they do. How is the all-gender bathroom exactly going to work? What woman wants to go in there? I mean, seriously, what woman's going to go in there? The all-gender bathroom is assigned to guys. Here's what it's going to be to me. For me, pretty sure if I got to do this, I'm not trying to be gross on a podcast. If it's just a simple number one, I'm going into the men's room. I'm in, I'm out, whatever. I'm taking my shot at number two in the all-gender bathroom because I'm going to guess it's cleaner, it's neater, it's bigger, the stalls are bigger, it's going to be that. I think guys are going to figure this out quickly. That if you're getting ready to go do that, get out of that crowded men's room with all the hustle and bustle, go into the all-gender one, and we will take it over. The men will take over the all-gender bathroom. They will. Men are gross. Men's rooms are gross. They're disgusting. Any woman that's ever been in a men's bathroom thinks it's gross. They think it's not hygienic. They can't believe we stand next to each other and we do what we do. All these things. Women think men are pigs. And it's not something I'm running from here. You know, I'm a man. I identify as a male because I am a man. Okay? I'm not running from it. I've been in a gazillion restrooms that I think are disgusting. I think men's rooms are gross. I think men are dirty. I'm serious. I can't believe some of the sounds and the smells in men's rooms I've been in. I can't. I literally can't. I'm like, is that person well? Are they sick? Should they go to the doctor? Is this regular? Do they eat like that? And this is what they are. I don't know. And I'm not saying I'm, you know, perfume and roses here. That's not it at all. I'm just telling you, and I worked at a sports radio station for 20 some years and it was almost all men. And I won't go into detail of the people that worked on the morning show through the years. But when I'd come to work at 8:30, the morning show would end at 10 and I'm having my morning tea, whatever. I had to get in and take a leak by 9:55 or it was over. That bathroom was about to get destroyed by the morning show. Just decimated. You can't even believe some of the disgusting things in the Union Broadcasting bathroom once the morning show is done. And I'm not being critical of these people. They have their body clock's got to be off. They have a weird schedule. They eat weird. Everything about it's weird. But boy, the second that show was over, it was a race, and it was everyone. It was like every single one of them. I'll let you piece together who worked there through the years and was on morning shows. It wasn't very pleasant. And then you had to basically stay out of the men's room until after lunch. It was like a two-hour no trespassing rule. Thankfully, when we moved to the new building in Overland Park, there was a downstairs men's room where you could go down there. They didn't really care for the fact that some of us were coming down there. But eventually, over time, people that you didn't work with downstairs for other companies, they say, hey, I say, yeah, I'm down here because we got a little problem up there. That we're working our way through that problem. This is what we're going to do at KCI. We're going to have all gender bathrooms with all these stalls, and you don't think the men are going to go in there and do their business? Of course they are. They're going to be bigger. It's going to be cleaner. The guys are going to take it over. Chris, absolutely brilliant email. Thank you so much for sharing with me. And again, I just get so excited. I've just got the goosebumps all week because Joe Biden's coming and all my favorite Democrats are going to be on stage together and maybe they'll talk about their inclusion and how great they are with their all-gender bathrooms that are coming to the new KCI. So the first thing what this is about, again, it's always about signaling. And I don't know, virtue signaling is an overused term, but that's exactly what this is. This is about signaling if someone is flying from New York to San Francisco and they stop in Kansas City and change planes and they go out in the concourse and they see the all-gender bathrooms, they'll be like, wow, this is really a progressive city. This isn't for the people of Kansas City. This isn't for the people of the world. It really isn't for LGBTQ, rainbow, alphabet people. It really isn't. It's for liberals. It's signaling to any liberals that are flying and happen to be in Kansas City that are never, never going to leave the airport. They're never going to see our city. This is flyover country. They're not going to see anything but the airport. This is signaling to them that, hey, there's progressive people in between the coasts. Look at this. This Kansas City's really progressive. And unfortunately, we've boxed ourselves into a corner as conservatives, where we just roll over and take this. Sure, it's your tax money. Of course you're behind this. Of course you think it's silly and stupid and all of those things, and probably won't work. If the intended result is for the ladies' lines to be shorter, it probably won't work. I can't imagine. My wife isn't going in there. She's not. I know all kinds of women that aren't going in there. There's no way they're going in there. And let's not even get into the discussion of creepers. Perverts hanging out in the airport, you know, the guy standing there with his suitcase at the hand washing area, and he stays in there for what? Half an hour watching women and whatever come and go? I don't know. There's some sick people out there, man. They get off on really weird stuff. There are twisted folks, and they're going to be hanging out in the all-gender bathroom. The weirdos will be in there. I'm sorry. There's no other way to describe it. I'm not categorizing people. If you're a middle-aged white man and you're a weirdo, you're a perv, you're a freaker, you're in there. You're in that one. You have chosen to go in there and see that world. It's just inviting weirdness. But it won't matter. It won't matter because people from the coasts that are in Kansas City for 20 minutes while they're on the ground changing planes will see how progressive we are. And that makes Quentin Lucas feel good. That makes the Democrats feel really good about themselves, that they've really done something. We have wireless vehicle charging stations and all gender bathrooms. We are so progressive. Wait till you see the changes they make at KCI after they realize some of this stuff doesn't really work. That's coming. That is coming. Thank you, Chris, for sharing that story with me. I have put the link on my Twitter feed at KK Has Issues on Twitter. Go check it out. As we do this podcast, it is December 7th, which is the 80-year anniversary of the Pearl Harbor invasion by the Japanese. A well-documented and chronicled day in history. That meant a lot to my dad, I know, and really throughout his life, and the Greatest Generation, because it is what led to the United States becoming involved in World War II. I can't speak to it eloquently. There's a gazillion places you can go for Pearl Harbor history and hear the stories on a day like today of people that were there, people that remember it, people whose lives were shaped by that event. Instead, what I'd like to do is draw a parallel from then to now. We have silly little sayings that we say all the time. The more things change, the more they stay the same. History is destined to repeat itself. All these different things. And so here we are. Today, on December 7th, our esteemed president, Joseph Biden, is having a conference call with Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin has said he will not allow NATO, which is 30 countries, he will not allow NATO to have Ukraine join the military alliance. That he believes the Ukraine is really the property of Russia or the Soviet Union, which is what Putin really likes. He was forged in the Soviet Union. He has 175,000 troops poised and ready to go after the new year to go into the Ukraine and take it up. So he's got a Ukraine buildup going on. He's blown up a satellite in space. There's turmoil in Belarus. And he's going to find out today in a conference call if he's rattled Joe Biden. The Biden people are saying Biden's going to be tough. He's going to draw a line, say you can't do this, you can't do that. And I just wonder how this conference call goes. And I don't mean to make light of this because this is very serious stuff. We're talking about life and death for a lot of people. We're talking about the sovereignty of countries. And we're talking about exactly the kinds of events that led to World War II. Expansion in Europe. One country saying we're expanding, we're taking this back, you're not going to stop us. And what did the United States do? We stayed out. We stayed out. And we stayed out until the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And we can't act like that. And I know that's what Biden's thinking. We've seen what he did in Afghanistan. And I know what he's thinking is we don't want to get drawn into anything. Russia's not going to attack us. There may be some salvos fired. We've got all kinds of warships in the sea nearby and all those things going on. But ask yourself this. Who will really make this decision? Joe Biden's going to be on a conference call with Vladimir Putin? This is ridiculous. That's you and I on a conference call with a third grader. This is a joke. Who's going to control and manage this conference call on behalf of the United States today with Vladimir Putin? This is a serious question because it is not Joe Biden. That's ridiculous. There's language barriers, there's translators, there's all kinds of people on the call. How exactly is this going to work? I would love for somebody to ask at the White House, exactly how does this work? Are you telling me that it is strictly a call between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin, or is somebody sitting right there with Joe Biden speaking on our behalf? Is it Ron Klain, the chief of staff? Is it the chairman of the Joint Chiefs? Does he have a negotiator? Do we have an envoy to Russia that sits there with him and this person's in charge? I want to know because I know it's not Joe Biden. And this is a very serious issue. And the world knows this is a very serious issue because there's a real buildup on the border at Ukraine. It is such a serious issue that the 30-nation NATO is now led basically by the UK. Boris Johnson has taken the lead. He has already said to Putin, this will be, quote, a tragic mistake, unquote, by Putin if he does anything in the Ukraine. Boris Johnson has said, we're coming after you if you go into the Ukraine, that war will begin. This is very important. The United Kingdom has basically said, if you go into the Ukraine, a war will be starting. So does Biden back that up now? And does Putin talk to him and after listening to him go, he's full of it, he's not going to do it? If I'm Putin, I'm like, the United States ain't coming in here. They're not doing anything in the Ukraine. He just pulled out of Afghanistan. This president's not going to do any of that stuff. This administration isn't going to do any of that. And the whole world sees our weakness. They see the weakness at every turn. Putin feeds on weakness. And he's ready to pounce on this in the Ukraine. China, the things China is saying right now is outrageous. The Olympics are coming to China, and we're going to go. But Biden says we're going to have a diplomatic boycott, which means he's not going to go. They're not going to send an envoy. They're not going to have the vice president there. They're not going to have officials. We're not going to do the diplomatic relations with China because they have slave labor, the Uyghurs, and all these different things that they have in China. We're, you know, the forced sterilization. We're not supporting China. We're supporting China, but we're not supporting China. This is so fake. This is so Democrat. This is exactly what Dems are. They say one thing, they do another. Oh, we'll be in the Olympics. We'll love our team. We'll go compete. But we're not going to send our politicians over there. Really? Because China has now responded in a very sharp tone through their mouthpieces, the communists, that this isn't a boycott because, quote, you're not invited anyway, unquote. Biden was never invited. One mouthpiece for the Chinese Communist Party said of the diplomatic boycott by the United States, this is true. This is absolutely true. They responded back to Joe Biden, we hope you live long enough to see us boycott the 2028 games in Los Angeles. Really? This is where we are? I mean, nobody fears the United States. They're making jokes about our policies. One spokesman said, we're too caught up in the virus that they invented. And they probably did. It's really accomplished and achieved a lot of the things that China wanted. They got Trump out. They got Sleepy Joe in. They're running roughshod over anything they want. They can take Taiwan's theirs for the taking. We're not going to do anything about it. Putin's on the border of Ukraine. Folks, it's Pearl Harbor Day. It's December 7th. We saw this all over. We saw Japan getting aggressive. We saw Germany on the move. We saw the Russians. We saw all this stuff going on leading up to World War II, and we stayed out of it because we're a peaceful people. And by and large, we should stay out of it. But if our goal is we're not going to be strong anymore, that we're not going to assert ourselves for world peace, that we're going to let the world crumble around us and just stay out of things until somebody bombs us, this is a bad plan. It's a really bad plan because it always ends with somebody bombing us first. Bad idea. Really bad idea. I'm not an international expert. I'm not any kind of a strategist or geopolitical genius. I'm none of those things. I'm none. I'm just a podcast host. I'm not going to turn this podcast into some international style podcast because I don't know enough about this. All I am is a simpleton that knows if you wait until somebody attacks you, your citizens will die and your military personnel will die and you will take a defeat at the very beginning that elicits an over response that could have been avoided by doing this up front. And I pray that somebody has the strength enough. Maybe it's Boris Johnson. He's our best hope. I pray that somebody has the strength enough to convince Putin to not do this and to convince China to not take Taiwan, because I don't know what happens in those regions once those things get upset. We don't know what the world becomes, and we don't know what that means to us eventually. Oh, sure, it means we stay out of it for now, but what does that mean, and what does that look like? I don't know, but I'm embarrassed that the Chinese make fun of our president. I'm sorry, I just do. We hope you live long enough to see us boycott the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. That's a Chinese response to Joe Biden's boycott? I mean, it's just alarming, alarming how silly all this stuff is that's going on that we see in so many places. KKHI is brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. Dr. Jeremy is a good dude, and he's got some great orthos. Your smile is just the start, whether you're a kid looking to get it corrected for life or an adult that needs a more beautiful smile. Fry Orthodontics is here for you with free retainers for life or Invisalign for the same price as braces. Fewer appointments, less time missed, it's less painful, better hygiene. Consider Invisalign at Fry Orthodontics online at fryorthodontics.com. Your first appointment is free. Buck Roofing, 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. If you want a free roof inspection, give them a call. That's not an emergency. They'll just come check it out for you. Ice and snow are coming. This is important with Buck Roofing. And Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Joslyn's is the jewelry you'll recommend to all your friends. Ask for Gary or Dave or Cameron right there at Joslyn's when you're shopping this holiday season. In Massachusetts, of all places, a store has popped up called the Let's Go Brandon store. It's true. There's a Let's Go Brandon store in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. It's on the Rhode Island border. You know, we think of Massachusetts as really liberal, but all these Northeast states are no different than where we live. New York City is liberal. It's millions of people. Boston is liberal. It's millions of people. But you get out away from the cities, and these states are conservative. They all are. People that choose not to live in the city are more conservative. And so the store has popped up. My guess is this is a one-month venture. We see Halloween stores. We see Christmas stores. We see pop-up retail locations of a wide variety. And this is a fabulous idea. It is not too late if you're listening to this. If you want to make some money this holiday season, get your pop-up. There's all kinds of retail space. You can be in there by next week, and you could be open for 2.5 weeks leading up to Christmas. 2 full weeks of a Let's Go Brandon store. They're doing it in North Attleboro. Business is brisk. It made social media. It's made national news now. The Let's Go Brandon store. It's pretty funny. I mean, seriously. I can't believe this actually happened, because I told you when I first heard the chants that were going on of FJB, that I didn't like it. I said, I appreciate the fact that people are mad, and I'm okay with the sentiment. A lot of things I was okay with, but that's just not the way to articulate your displeasure. For me, anyway. Maybe I'm an old fogey. You guys remember that? I said that on multiple podcasts. I said, we need to find something that's more clever, more creative. The fact that Let's Go Brandon took over as FJB is just fantastic. Because people know what it means. You can chant it in front of kids. You can do it at a sporting event. You're not offending anybody. You can wear the t-shirt. You can open a store in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. The Let's Go Brandon store. I love it. I'm so thankful that happened. I'm so thankful that reporter at that NASCAR second tier race, the Xfinity race. I'm so happy that she couldn't hear the crowd and what they were chanting, that they thought that they were chanting, Let's Go Brandon, to the driver. That's just one of my favorite things that's ever happened. So I'm sure if you went online, maybe the Let's Go Brandon store has an online presence. There's all kinds of Let's Go Brandon merchandise on the internet. But if you want to support these people, you know who they are. I see. What I don't know is some of these companies, if you go buy a Let's Go Brandon t-shirt, you might just be supporting liberals. You don't know. I mean, you know, when you order things online from companies you never heard of, which is kind of one of the themes of this podcast and the sponsors of this podcast and why it has been so successful is your loyalty to the small businesses that I represent on this podcast. And you know, you just know they're conservative. You know who they are. You know how they're going to treat you. They're not big corporations. They're local businesses. Most of them, what we refer to as mom and pop, or one owner or one person that owns and operates. It's just different. It's a better way to shop. It's a better way to do business. It absolutely is the way to go. And I can't give you a recommendation on where to get your Let's Go Brandon merchandise this holiday season, but there is a store in North Attleboro, Massachusetts, and you can be sure that the people who built that store and opened that for this holiday season are conservative. They would not have risked what they are doing on a small level to do that if they were not. You see, the type of email that I get, I said we're going to share some emails on the show today. I got this one from Matt. He says, Kevin, as always, I wanted you to know that I love the podcast. I was in the market for a used 4x4 Dodge to replace my current two-wheel drive Dodge. I found one at Roberts Robinson in Excelsior and jumped on it. And when we were about done, they got a nicer one in. I wanted to switch trucks, and they did so with no questions asked. They did a fantastic job taking care of me from start to finish. I made sure to let Tim know that you were the reason I was there. Appreciate the referral to a conservative dealership that took unbelievable care of me. Please keep up the good work. Sincerely, Matt. Thank you, Matt. That's a used car. He wanted a Dodge truck at a Chevy Buick GMC dealership in Excelsior Springs. I keep getting stories from folks that are driving 20, 30, 40, 50 miles to Excelsior Springs and getting their car there. Folks, you don't have to drive there to get a new car. If you want to order a new car, they'll have it built for you, and when it arrives, then you can go there. You can do it all over the phone. Ask for Tim. Just call Roberts Robinson online at robertsrobinson.com. Ask for Tim, and he will take complete care of you, just as he did Matt. Love that story. Just love it. Also got a text message from my buddy Chris yesterday at B-Stock, and he says, man, I can't believe these aren't gone. You mentioned these on your podcast, and I can't believe they're not gone. He said, this is the best deal ever. And I said, well, the TV that we're promoting right now at B-Stock, it's possible that for a lot of people, it's just too big. It needs to be wall-mounted in most cases, things like that. It's the 82-inch TU-7000 for $1,199. And that includes free delivery in Kansas City. This is the one they had the discussion on whether or not they should do this. I think at the lowest price is $1,400 at Best Buy or something like that. This is an 82-inch TV for the football playoffs, for the Chiefs playoff run, for all that stuff. $1,199 in-store with free delivery if you mention KKHI. He says he can't believe he hadn't sold out of them yet. I said, well, a lot of people, that TV might be too big. And I guess that's possible. I've got the 82 right there in my new man cave, and I love it. It's just fantastic for watching football. Simply fantastic. And, of course, our friends at Amazing Garage Floors. Hutch did a great job on my floor in my garage. I put some of those pictures on Twitter as well if you want to see them. It is an amazing garage floor. And it is we have a nice new home. But it completely upgraded it immediately for me because we were in here for 3.5 weeks without it. And now it's like, yes, my home is complete. I thought my home was complete when they put the sod in the yard. I was like, because we were here a couple of weeks with just dirt. When we finally got the sod down, I was like, okay, it's complete. No, it wasn't complete until I got the garage floor from AmazingGarageFloors.net. They are the best. On to sports, and the New England Patriots are the number one seed right now in the AFC. And consider me worried. Because what the Chiefs are trying to do right now, the Patriots have already perfected. If you did not watch Monday Night Football, the Patriots defeated the Bills 14-10. Mac Jones was the quarterback for the Patriots. Attempted on a windy night in Buffalo, he attempted three passes. Mac Jones was 2 out of 3 for 16 yards, and they won the game. They ran the ball 46 times. New England now has a 2-game lead in the AFC East. They're Belichick back, is what they are. 2 points I want to make right here. The reaction to the Chiefs' win Sunday night by members of the local media in Kansas City was, winning ugly is not sustainable. Do you think there is a single columnist in Boston today, or pundit or sports radio host, do you think there is one person in Boston today saying the Patriots won ugly, that is not sustainable? Do you think any Patriots fan anywhere is questioning Bill Belichick, who should absolutely be the coach of the year? He has a rookie quarterback. He is currently the number one seed. He has a 2-game lead in his division. His quarterback just went 2 out of 3 for 16 yards, and they won by running the ball 46 times. Is anybody in Boston saying this is unsustainable? Well, of course you can't complete three passes and go all the way. But Mac Jones has been better than that. This was a coaching decision. This was a game decision. This was, we can beat this team this way. I will defend. Josh Allen will not be able to throw very well. It is too windy. We will run the ball. We're going to be tougher than them. And they were. The crazy part is Sean McDermott, the coach of the Bills, who we like. He's a friend of Andy's, right? We like the guy. This is a direct quote after the game. He said, let's not give more credit than we need to Bill Belichick. What? McDermott, you did not say that. You're playing the Patriots again in a couple of weeks. If you could pull within one and then win that game, there might be a tiebreaker scenario for you to win the division. You did not just say that. How does Sean McDermott say that after that? Anybody that watched that game knows the single most important factor in the Patriots winning that game was the work of Bill Belichick. Period. Period. And he celebrated. Belichick doesn't usually get excited and celebrate and stuff. He got really excited at the end of that game. Because I think he knew what he just did. I think he just said, I did something nobody else in this league can do. I got a rookie quarterback that I do not want throwing the football in 40-mile-an-hour winds. And we pulled it off. We had a plan. We went with it. We executed it. My guys are smarter than yours. My guys are tougher than yours. And I will beat you any damn way I please. That's what Bill Belichick said to the Buffalo Bills and the rest of the NFL last night. And I am scared to death of the Chiefs going to Foxborough. I do not want to go play that team. I do not. The offense will not look good against the Patriots. They will defend. And look, maybe this is the year. Maybe it's right time, right place that the Chiefs defense is stepping up, because it is going to take the Chiefs defense to win in Foxborough. The Chiefs are going to have to hold that team to 17 or less in order to beat the Patriots. They will have to. Now, this Belichick is unbelievable, folks. I mean, this is the NFL. This isn't college. He didn't line up and dial something up in college and say, we're just going to run it 46 times and pass it 3. He didn't do that. No, this is the NFL. It's crazy. Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Bills, after the game was said, this could rip us apart or bring us together. They're scratching their heads. They don't know what's happened to their season. They don't know what's happened to their season. They're really, really down on where they are and what's happened to them. All good news for the Chiefs is the Chiefs are improving and most teams aren't. But my goodness, the New England Patriots, that was just a clinic. That was a coaching clinic Monday night. And I have great appreciation for that, by the way. I just do. I just have great appreciation for coaches who can do something like Bill Belichick pulled off on Monday night. Simply amazing. Didn't spend any time on Monday talking about the Big 12 title game, but I just wanted to mention briefly because the Stan Weber interview didn't work out. We got into it there and talked about it, but I didn't in my part when I redid the podcast. But the Big 12 title game that happened on Saturday was just phenomenal. As Baylor won on the last play of the game, Oklahoma State literally coming up 6 inches short from what they thought at the time could get them into the college football playoff. Cincinnati is in the college football playoff. Cincinnati and Houston played, and they're both coming to the Big 12. Oklahoma State and Baylor played, and they're both coming to the Big 12. That's a whole bunch of top 10 teams right there, three, that will be in the new Big 12 that played on Saturday. One is headed to the college football playoff. Baylor's an up-and-comer. It looks like their coach is staying after being rumored to have the possibility to work elsewhere. All these good things are happening for the new Big 12, and Oklahoma and Texas are on hard times. Texas has no bowl game. Their season's over. Oklahoma lost a 5-star defensive tackle yesterday to Texas A&M. It's over for Oklahoma. This is going to be the hardest thing ever because now what? You hire Brent Venables, and all of a sudden, after watching Lincoln Riley set scoring records, you're going to turn Oklahoma into a team that's going to try to win 13-10? Is that the goal at Oklahoma? I mean, I'll cede you the point that the two teams in the Big 12 title game were the two best defenses in the league. They were. Baylor and Oklahoma State. Maybe it's the right plan at Oklahoma. Or maybe they're just thinking, we have to do this to go to the SEC. I don't know, but I don't expect Oklahoma to be in the Big 12 title game next year. Do you? Or Texas? I think this league has fundamentally changed, and I think this league is going to be just fine, and I think this last weekend showed it. I think Cincinnati being in the playoff is part of it. I think Baylor and Oklahoma State playing in the title game, it's all right there. The new Big 12 is going to be just fine. And that was an amazing game. It was the only game other than the SEC game, Alabama and Georgia. It was the only game, only championship game that featured two top 10 teams. It just wasn't Oklahoma against Texas. See, it was Baylor against Oklahoma State. It's okay when this is another league. If this had been Tennessee against Ole Miss for the SEC title, and they were both in the top 10, everybody'd look at it and go, oh, that's just legit. Well, when it's the Big 12, you go, yeah. Baylor and Oklahoma State. Those teams are legit, man. They're good teams. They're good, well-coached teams with outstanding players. This is a good league. It's a good league that's not going anywhere. It's going to be just fine. Oh, did you see the Manning cast on Monday night? David Letterman was a guest. David Letterman, I would never say he was a hero. David Letterman was a broadcast. I was a giant fan of David Letterman for a long, long, long time until he got political because David Letterman started at a time where late night shows were fun, they were interesting, they were irreverent, they were off the wall, he threw watermelons off the top of the building, he did all kinds of stuff, stupid pet tricks, all the things David Letterman did through the years. To me, brilliant television. An unbelievably talented, gifted, funny man who, as he grew older, got richer, more liberal, and weirder, and apparently used his authority on the job in sexually inappropriate ways. It's the same thing with all these liberals. It's very Cuomo. We see it with all these people, these Northeast liberals. This is a salt-of-the-earth guy from Indiana that spent too many years living in the big city, living in the fast lane, getting rich, hanging out with all the high society liberal elites, and he turned into one of the weirdos with them. He now lives like a hermit with a long beard, and he was on the Manning cast, and he had his crazy beard on. He has struck a relationship through the years with Peyton Manning because being from Indiana, David Letterman is a Colts fan, and so he became friends with Peyton Manning. They've done some events together at Ball State, which is in Indiana and is David Letterman's alma mater. A lot of different things. They're friends. They're different. Peyton Manning's a conservative. David Letterman's a liberal, but that isn't what they talk about. This was about football, and they were having fun. And it was so sad for me to see the man that I know that is so funny and so gifted and so talented, and we're now in an era where every one of the late-night shows is just a liberal political show. It's not even about comedy or fun. You can't watch them. They're unwatchable, and it's all about politics and liberalism. And it's a shame because David Letterman was really, really funny. Really funny. And he said last night he's got some rules changes for football. He thinks that the NFL should adopt a no-punting policy. He also thinks that no field goal should be attempted unless it's 50 yards or longer, that you have to go for it. I like that. It got me thinking about something I talked about with my friends over the weekend, and there does need to be a rules change in college and pro football, and it needs to be basically be intentional grounding. It's when a quarterback is running and fakes a slide and then doesn't slide. Mahomes' first year as a starter did this twice. And I remember being on the radio saying, that's awesome he did that, but they're gonna rule that out. Well, I think in the NFL, they've told the quarterbacks, don't do this. You can get hurt. It's a bad idea. Whatever. Mahomes hasn't done it, to my knowledge, since his first year. His first year starting twice, he started to go into a slide and then didn't and sidestepped the guy and got the first down. Well, we saw it happen in the college game this weekend, and it was a huge play. It was a very big play. And my response was, watching with my buddy, was that should be a 15-yard penalty. And then I started thinking about it. It really should be intentional grounding. It should be 15 yards or 10 yards from the line of scrimmage and loss of down. If you fake sliding and then don't slide as a quarterback, because what happened on that play was it turned into a touchdown, right? What happened on the play was quite simply three defenders around him stopped. They just pulled up and stopped. Then he didn't go into a slide and kept going and scored a touchdown. That's just not right. That's not football. I'm all for not having concussions, not getting people hurt, trying to protect, whatever. I got a lot of things I can support. I can't support a touchdown where a quarterback faked a slide, three defenders quit on the play to not touch him, then he kept running and scored. Can't have that. That's got to be outlawed. That's got to be a very, very severe penalty. I think it should be at least 10 yards from the line of scrimmage and loss of down, like intentional grounding. David Letterman, by the way, Chris DeGaulle, my friend Chris DeGaulle, who's on KCMO, Talk Radio 710. He will be with us Thursday at the Brass Rail. Chris DeGaulle is coming. If you want to meet Chris DeGaulle, he will be there. My guys, Clint Schweitzer and Noah, they're going to be there from Starcade Media. I'm going to have some T-shirts to give away, all this fun stuff. 5 to 8 at the Brass Rail, 152 Highway in North Brighton in the Northland on Thursday from 5 until 8 p.m. Love to see you there. The Vikings play the Steelers on Thursday Night Football. That will be on. So come see us. Come out and see us. Come meet Chris DeGaulle. And you can ask Chris DeGaulle what it was like to be David Letterman's intern. Chris DeGaulle was like a smart student and got cool internships and went to New York and was David Letterman's intern. And if you listen to Chris DeGaulle, you can hear a lot of the mannerisms of David Letterman in the way he delivers his content. You can hear it. You can still hear it today. And I think he knows Letterman's whacked out at this point, but man, I think that had to be a tremendous experience. So come on out and meet Chris DeGaulle Thursday, 5 to 8 at the Brass Rail. It's going to be fun. Whole bunch of conservatives hanging out, talking about sports, politics, life, whatever you want. And I don't know, the first 40 or 50 people there, I'm going to have a free T-shirt for you. And if you're a patron or you want to join up as a patron, we'd love to have you do that. And we'll get you a free cocktail, beer or wine. I'll buy you a beer. I'll buy you a beer if you sign up as a patron between now and then and you send me an email, let me know you're coming. I'll get you a cold one. And we'll also have a pitcher, a jar or something. If you want to make a donation to Christmas Shining Star, we will accept that in person on Thursday for Christmas Shining Star. I've had a couple of you email me and say, hey, what's your address? You want to mail me a check? I'm not going to give names. Thank you, guys. I received your checks. I've received the checks from everyone who said they were sending them to my house. Thank you. I'll be delivering those in person next week to Bridget and the people at Christmas Shining Star. We've received some unbelievable donations from our sponsors of the podcast. And I think we're at about $1,200 through the patron program, which I'm going to double to $2,400. I'm doubling on the patron program up to $5,000 if you donate that way. So I think we've raised about $1,200 through the patron program, and that'd be another $2,400. I think all told, I hate to give a number. I think all told, we're getting close to $9,000 for Christmas Shining Star. It's amazing. God bless all of you. And thank you so much for all that you're doing for these kids in Kansas City, Missouri, and St. Joseph, Missouri. That's where they live. That's where the kids reside that we want to help out. And we're pretty excited about that. If you aren't going to send it, if you don't want to call the number, if you want to call Christmas Shining Star, you can and make a donation. 816-659-8243. That's 816-659-8243. But there's other ways to donate as well, other than just calling. Or if you want to shop for kids and actually buy the presents for them, that's a fun experience with your family. Call that number and ask them how to do it. They'll send you an email with some shopping lists for certain kids, and you can go shopping and take those gifts to Christmas Shining Star. That's what we're doing on Saturday with my son Cameron, my daughter Abby, and my lovely wife Jessica. We're looking forward to doing that on Saturday morning. Should be a really, really good time. very much looking forward to it. All right, thanks as always for listening to KKHI. We'll have Between the Lines 2.0 up at the Patreon podcast later on Tuesday. So if you want to get that, Danny Klinkski will be joining me to talk some sports. All you got to do is join up as a patron. You get that every week. We did a patron podcast on Monday. We did newsletters on Saturday and Sunday. That's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 days in a row with bonus content for patrons. If you want more content, it'll be right there for you. Join up, become a patron at kkhasissues.com.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.